have your Bibles today, turn to the book of Acts, chapter 24. A little bit about Felix. We're going to look at Felix's response today. I want you to see Paul reasoned with him. Paul revealed the truths of God's word, and Felix responded humanly. I want you to see this today. Felix was a former freed slave, according to history, that worked his way up the ladder to become governor. He stepped on everybody he could to get where he wanted. He was a unique individual that did have a heart toward the gospel, but yet struggled to do what was right. You'll notice that Felix called for Paul. So here's a freed slave that works his way up the ladder, becomes somebody very important, and marries Drusilla. Notice, if you would, in verse 24, and Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewish. So here she's a Jewish lady. For certain, she's brought up in the traditions of Judaism and knows all about things. But let me tell you about her family. Number one, her father, Agrippa the First, was the one who killed James in Acts chapter 12. Her great uncle was the one who killed John the Baptist. And her great grandfather was the one who tried to kill Jesus by trying to kill all the babies 2 years old and under in Bethlehem. So her heritage is not a good one. Let me ask you this. Why would God take the time to put a faithful servant in prison, to have him go before Felix and Drusilla to give them a personal witness about how to get to heaven? You know what that tells me? Even if you try to kill my son, Drusilla, your grandfather tried to kill my son, but I still want you to hear the gospel. Your great uncle, he killed John the Baptist, but I want you to hear the gospel. Oh, your father, Herod, he was a wicked man. He killed James. You could kill Paul, but I want him first to tell you about the gospel. Folks, today is Christmas. It's Christmas season. Now, it amazes me how the Christmas season starts earlier and earlier and earlier. It's almost starting in August now. If you know, you go into Costco or some of these stores and they start getting trees and putting them out in October. And it is amazing to me. But now, for me, the Christmas season starts the first Sunday after Thanksgiving. And so it's on now, and so I'm reminded there are lots of people that don't know the gospel. There's a lot of people that don't know what Christmas is all about. They don't understand that Jesus came from the cradle to the cross for them. They don't understand that. Now you see, here's a couple. I want you to, maybe we can learn something this morning, just real simple, that God loves everybody. God loves people. He loves the people you see at the stores. The other day I gave a tract to somebody hacked my account and I had to go to the bank. And how many of you have been hacked before? Let me see your hands. Okay, I'm not the only one. That's good, all right? And so, well, that's bad. I'm sorry, that was the wrong statement, all right? It's not good that anybody else has been hacked, but had to go and get it all squared away. And so I gave him a tract, and I said, look, I want you to read this. Look, I says, where are your church? And you know, this is a banker. He's not interested in hearing the gospel, but I got a chance to give him the gospel in that tract. And then he said, you know, where's your church? And I said, well, it's in Herndon. He says, well, I live a long ways. I live in Leesburg. I said, so do I. He went, oh. I said, I've been living in Leesburg for 20 years. He went, oh. Well, I'd like to come maybe. So I figured it's kind of a, you know, just get this guy out of here. And so then I get an email a little bit later, and he says, hey, I just want you to know, I'm going to come to your church. Now, why did the Lord let somebody hack my account? Maybe it was so he could hear the gospel. Last week, I told you somebody inspected the bus. Now, that was stressful. But now that that's taken care of, but one man, the bus driver, I got a chance to share with him the wonders of Christ. And my prayers, if he's listening today, that he would trust Christ as Savior. Do you think anybody in this world is not worth something to Christ? When he said one soul is worth more than the whole world. So I look here and I see a slave, freed slave that stepped on people, had people killed to get what he wants, and a Jewish young lady that has a heritage that's horrendous, and God says, I want them to hear the gospel from one of the greatest preachers to ever live. And Paul, I want you to be ready to give it your best. Now I want you to notice, look with me if you would, in verse 24. And after certain days, when Felix, now understand, Paul's in prison. He's called out of prison to meet with Felix. After certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewish, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. Now, you know one thing about Paul, if you talk to Paul, you're going to hear the gospel. I mean, Paul, that's just Paul. Are you proud enough of Jesus Christ to just want to let everybody know how wonderful he is and somehow work it in to every conversation? You know, Paul is called about, why are you in jail? I don't know that it says Felix called him to hear about the faith in Christ. But I want you to notice what he did. Look in verse number 25. And he reasoned of righteousness. The word reasoned is a great Greek word. It's dialogeomai, which means he said thoroughly. It's to talk through. Dia is through, logeomai is to say. So it's to talk through a subject. It's to cover it thoroughly. So here he reasons with him. It's not preaching. It's sitting down and it's sharing with him all the ins and outs of Christianity. It's sharing with him about Jesus Christ. Now, the Jewish knew that a Messiah was coming, but Felix, I guarantee you, didn't. And so he goes back and he starts. He said, you know, God promised that he would send Messiah to Adam in Genesis 3:15. You know, he's kept keeping his word from Isaiah 9:6 and Isaiah 7:14 and Psalm 22. And now, even now, he's keeping his word. Because do you remember this man Jesus that was crucified? Well, that was the Messiah. You remember hearing stories about him as he raised Lazarus from the dead? Well, I want you to know, I talked with him. I saw him. And I want you to know, he died for you. He reasoned of righteousness. He reasoned not of his righteousness, Felix's, because he didn't have much. And yet it's so difficult to look at somebody and say, your righteousness is not worth much. Do you understand that nobody in this room, any good thing that you've done, every time I talk with someone about the gospel, 99% of the time, it's, well, I'm doing good. I'm doing my best. Like, what else can God expect? I'm doing my best. And when I look at them, I say, well, why did Jesus die? 90% of them say he died for sin. And I said, well, how do you connect why Jesus died to you? And I get this blank look. That's the faith in Christ. Folks, you have to connect it. You have to connect Christmas to people. Connect it in a Christmas card. Connect it in a letter. Connect it in a track. Connect it in giving someone a cantata, a card on the cantata. Folks, today, do you understand Jesus Christ loves everybody in this room? He died to save everybody in this room. But most people don't connect. He died for me. Because I'm still doing the best I can. Well, if you can make it, why did he die? And that blank look comes over everybody I ever talked to. Every one of them. I don't know. And you know what? Now it's the time to reason of righteousness. To reason of temperance and of judgment to come. Now it's your opportunity. Now, maybe you're here today. And you say, well, Pastor, I'm a good person. I know Jesus died on the cross. I know he died for me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Everybody knows John 3:16, but I don't know how to connect John 3:16 to David Pittman. Folks, that's the faith in Christ. That's what Paul's there to do. So he reasons with him. He talks him all the way through the scriptures. And folks, when you begin to talk to someone, you know what? You've got to find out where they are. When you're in Papua New Guinea, or you're in the jungles of Africa, or you're in the jungles of the Amazon, or you're in the deserts of Africa, and you meet somebody, you may have to start way back at the beginning. You know what the beginning is? Adam, Eve, God promised them a deliverer. When they sinned against God, God had to slay an animal, clothe them when the blood was shed of an animal. And God says, my currency is blood. In order to get you to heaven, someone's got to die. But that someone's got to be perfect like that animal that was innocent. An animal is innocent. It has no ability to sin. An animal is just fleshly. But you and I, we have a soul. It gives us the ability to think about, I know this is wrong, but I'm going to do it anyway. And so we do it, and we're held accountable for that. Do you know what I'm talking about? And you see the person say, I understand that. Well, you're held accountable for your sin, and somebody's got to pay for it. Either you're going to have to go to hell and pay for your own sin, a place where God made for the devil, not you, but there's no other place for you to go, and you've got to trust the Lord as Savior. You've got to put your faith in Christ, as it said in verse 24, reason of the faith in Christ. You have to come in and say, Lord, I know you died for me. In faith, I know that. I've never met Jesus personally. I've never touched his hand. I've never kissed his feet, but I've talked with him. And I remember talking to him 52 years ago in a little room behind the baptistry. And I said, Lord Jesus, it's me, Dave Pittman. I'm a nobody, and I'm a sinner. And I realized you died for me. Now, righteousness. He said, look, not just anybody can die. Now, Felix, listen, you and Drusilla, not just anybody can die. I can't die for you. I'm a Jew, and no one's ever heard me. And he could go down the list. He says, but I kill the Lord's people. He said, I'm a murderer. But he said, other than that, I'm a good Jew. But I'm a sinner. And he began to talk to him about it. He reasoned of righteousness. Look, every lamb that's offered has to be perfect. You know, when you go to the temple, you can't offer a lamb that's sick. You know that? Oh, Drusilla says, well, I know that. So you know why? Because God wants a perfect lamb. You know why? Because that's going to be his son. The Lamb, for God hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him, 2 Corinthians 5:21. God is going to save everybody on earth through his son's blood, but his son has to be perfect. By the way, did you hear about Mary? She was a virgin when Jesus was born. Yeah, I couldn't figure that out. Because her blood, the blood of the husband, if there was one, would have tainted the blood. Oh, he reasoned of righteousness. He talked all the way through it, thoroughly covered the subject of righteousness, said, you have no righteousness. And folks, everybody in this room, you have no righteousness of your own. You may say, well, I'm not a bad person. You're a sinner. Whosoever keeps the whole law and yet offends in one point is guilty of all, James 2:10. So everybody in this room, if you mess up, you know, I told you, I got my new truck and I'm so excited about it. And it's got this feature on it that, you know, when you get with the white lines, how many of you got one of the vehicles that does that? You know, you get to the white line, it you get close to the white line. I mean, close. You don't have to get over the line. You get close to it. It says, I think he's going to get over there. And it sort of starts shaking you. Or whatever it does, I don't know how, I haven't figured it out yet. I don't know if the wheels wobble or what it is, but I get a vibration when I say, or maybe it's just my seat. I haven't figured it out yet. But I know on the way to church this morning, I'm really trying to drive a perfect way to the church. Get in and stay right between the two lines. Haven't made it yet, but I'm trying. Okay? I get in and turn. Anybody ever forgot your blinker? Tells me every time. You know, I get in, I turn. So now, man, I turn my blinkers on and I watch. You got to turn it on before you start to turn. Because I've noticed that. It's like somebody sitting right there in the car with me, in the truck with me, saying, okay, pay attention, pay attention. And you know, it's got this thing where you can talk to people on the phone. And so somebody calls me and I'm talking, and pretty soon I'm talking and, oh, wait a minute. And it's just frustrating. Because you know what? I can't even drive to church perfect. I can't imagine if I drove 5,000 miles, the first 5,000 miles, and I couldn't make it perfect. How can I live the rest of my life perfect? You know what? That's why I need the righteousness of Christ. Because I'm human. I make mistakes. Or maybe you're driving and you're seeing somebody in front of you, and maybe they pull over in front of you. I'll use that. They pull over in front of you, and then it says brake. And it says right there, brake. It starts slowing me down. I've never had that before. You know, so you get a little too close, and I notice when the cruise is on it, I'm doing 43 miles an hour. What is going on? I realize the car in front of me, that truck in front of me, has got a trailer, and I'm getting close to him, and he slows me down. I'm saying, wow, I did not. And keep in mind, I've never hit anybody behind. Lord, please, 60-something years, I've never hit anybody behind, not today, okay? But this thing warns me about that. But I didn't realize it. Does anybody know here how many car lengths you're supposed to stay behind the car when you're driving 60 miles an hour? Does anybody know? Now, wait a minute. Somebody tell me. Oh, wait a minute. John, you're a police officer. How many? Six, that's right. Did you know my truck at six starts going... How many of you have ever gotten closer than six car lengths behind another car? Don't raise your hand, because I know it's every one of you guys in here. And so I noticed that, now this truck is this righteous truck. That's what I call it now. It's a righteous truck. I get in and it just does everything, all kinds of stuff. Man, I'm realizing I'm a terrible driver. Now, I haven't had any wrecks. I haven't had any wrecks in 30 years. And yet I'm a terrible driver. So my Allstate has got this DriveWise app that you get on it, you can save money. Shoot, I couldn't save money. I'd be in a hole because I'm driving this thing. Brake. I can't figure it out. So I try to pay attention. I just can't do it. Now, I'm not hitting anybody, but I'm not staying within the limits. And go, you know what? Maybe you're not hitting anybody, but you've not stayed within the limits of righteousness according to the God of heaven. Today, you have to decide if you want to get put in righteousness. The faith in Christ will make you righteous. He will give you his righteousness, like he puts on you his coat of righteousness, and you can go to heaven, not because you're good, but because he made you good. He reasoned all through righteousness and what it means to be righteous, how that you can be righteous and still be a sinner, but God declares you righteous. He says, I declare Dave Pittman righteous and on his way to heaven. And then at that point in time, he forgives all of our sin, past, present, and future. Because there's no other way we'd get to heaven. And so he reasoned of righteousness. Now he reasoned of temperance too. Now, did you know that Felix and Drusilla were wicked people? They were partiers. And so he reasoned to them, says, you know, about all the stuff that you go on. How many times have you ever said, I don't want to do this? Now, anytime somebody is a partier and they get, they always go farther than they want to go. He said, how would you like to have the power to say, I'm not doing that anymore? How would you like to have the freedom from your flesh? The freedom to say victory in your life. To say, no, I don't think that's right. I'm not doing it. They could not do that. He said, if I think somebody's trying to rise up the ladder to get me, I'm going to kill them. He said, I'm not going to fool that. And when I want to go party, I want to go party. But then at the end, the next morning, they're throwing up because they drank too much and they did this and they did that. And they did, oh, you mean I did that? You mean I did this? Yes. He said, you know, I wished I wouldn't do that. He reasoned of the ability to say, no more. Wouldn't you like to have that, Felix and Drusilla? You just sort of see their heads going down. As he reasoned of temperance, self-control. Maybe you're here today, you don't have any self-control in one area of your life. Maybe it's pornography. Maybe it's jealousy. Maybe it's bitterness. Now, folks, let me tell you, if you're human, you've got an area that's out of control unless you trust Christ and walk with him. So he reasoned of one of the fruits of trusting this Christ and putting your faith in Christ is of temperance, the ability to say no when you know something is not right. What, that was the one reason that I knew I was lost at 14 years old. I had no temperance. I said, Lord, I want that. I want to live right. Now, notice if you would, he reasoned of one other thing. Notice if you would, in verse 20, in verse 25, he reasoned of righteousness and of temperance and of judgment to come. You know what he did? We don't like that in our society today. Nobody likes to hear a sermon on judgment to come. Nobody wants to hear about that. We're good people. We don't deserve to hear about the place called hell. We don't deserve to hear about standing for a holy and just God. We don't deserve to hear about that. And he said, look, I want you to know, Felix, you and Drusilla, let me tell you what's going to happen. If you don't put your faith and trust in Christ, you're going to stand before God. The Bible says, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away. Every king, every governor, you're not going to be able to stand before God and look him in the eye because you're guilty. Every immoral person, in deed or in thought, is going to stand before God. Unless you've previously asked Jesus for his righteousness, that you could go to heaven. Now, do you understand today that he's reasoning with Felix and Drusilla? And he says, look, please, I'm pleading with you. Don't stand before God. Because did you know that everybody that stands before God, by the way, let me show you. Take your Bible and turn to Revelation 20. Revelation 20. Notice, if you would, verse 11. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. So everybody that stood before the great white throne, there was found no place to stand before God unless he called them. They're all guilty. And notice what he says in verse 15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. And not one of these people's names in the book. You know, I preached about the great white throne many years ago, maybe 15, 20 years ago. And a man was sitting in here, and he heard about the great white throne and the book of life. That was the subject, the book of life. You see it here? Notice, if you would, in verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open. You want to know why? Because this is not a day of if you're guilty or not. This is a day of sentencing. Do you understand where that is in the judicial system? You're arrested. Then you're arraigned. You're accused with a crime. And you're assigned a court date. Then you go to court. The jury listens to all the trial information and all the laws against you that you've broken. And then make a decision, guilty. Then you put back in prison, and the judge assigns you a day of sentencing. That's this day. And so Paul reasoned to Felix and Drusilla and said, a day of sentencing is on its way because you're guilty already. And folks, do you understand we're born guilty? God gives us grace as small children until we reach the age of accountability. We know about that in 2 Samuel when David told us, it said, you know, I had a little baby that died and he's going to heaven. I can't bring him back, but I can go see him. So we know God puts a protection on children until they reach the age of accountability, the age of understanding that their righteousness is not good enough. And I don't know when that is. How many of you were saved here at 5 or earlier? Would you raise your hand? Okay, so I know it's there, but how many of you were saved a little later in life? You heard the gospel, maybe you didn't hear the gospel, but you got saved later in life. Let's say you got saved at 40 or above. Would you raise your hand? Let me see it. 1, 2, 3. Do you understand why people that are older don't get saved? Number one, nobody reasons to them of righteousness. Did somebody reason to you of righteousness? Somebody reason to you of righteousness? Somebody reason to you of righteousness? You see, do you understand? There's the person that claims the name of Christ. We're failing at our job to say, look, let me tell you of the faith in Christ and how wonderful he is. And so as a result, if we don't get people early, they're lost. Felix and Drusilla are that age. And you know what they were? Typical. Notice, if you would, he reasoned of righteousness. He revealed the gospel to them. But notice their response. They responded. Look what it is. Look at Acts chapter 24. Acts 24 and verse 25. And he reasoned of judgment to come in the middle of verse 25. And Felix trembled. It scared him to death. You mean I'm going to stand before a holy God? He understood it. That trembling tells me he knew that he was on his way to hell. He knew that he was going to stand before a holy God. And he couldn't make the decision to put his faith and trust in Christ. So notice what happens. And answered, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. You know what? Many times when we're touched by the heart of God to do something, we say that, not today. Lord, I'll do it next week. I'm not talking about just for salvation. I'm talking about as God's children. How many of you have ever gotten up on a Sunday morning and said, well, I'm not going to go to church today, next week? How many of you have ever gotten up and you said, I'm going to have my devotions. I'm going to read and talk to the Lord this morning. Well, I'll do it tomorrow. Go thy way. When I have a convenient season, when I find a time that's comfortable for me, as far as we know. Now, the amazing thing is this. You know what Felix did? Look, in verse number 26. He hoped also that money should be given him of Paul that he might loose him. Wherefore he sent for him the oftener and communed with him. So he talked to Paul many times about the gospel. He talked to Paul many times. Hey, Paul, go get Paul. I want to talk to him. Hoping he would give him money. You know what he did? He got back. His response was, I'm scared to death of dying and going to hell. I'm scared to death of not trusting Christ, but I just can't do it today. Wait until I have a comfortable day. You know, the Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day bring forth. You know, it says in 2 Corinthians, today if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Job 22:21, acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace. Isaiah 1:18, come now and let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they should be white as snow. You know, when the time is that Jesus Christ wants to save people, it's right now. It's don't put it off. So he put it off this day, and it never says he trembled again. Now, there is a deadline. I don't know where it is. Did you know the Bible says in Titus chapter 2, the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. So you know what that tells me? That means that God's saving grace has or will appear to John McChesky. It will appear to Robin McChesky. It will appear to Mary. It will appear to Matt. It will appear to Kevin. It'll appear to everybody in this room at one point in time. But nowhere in the Bible does it say it'll appear twice. And unless God's grace comes to you, you can't be saved. Because you'll feel no conviction. That's the reason he reasoned of judgment to come. Felix, I don't know if you'll ever get another chance. I'm just telling you, trust him today. He responded to the revealing of the gospel. Go your way. When I have a convenient time. Now, folks, today, there is no more convenient season. There's no more convenient time than today. Number one, you're in church. You're in God's house. You're in a place where people love you and care about you. And if you're not sure, you're on your way to heaven. I was 14 years old. I was in the youth group. And the Holy Spirit touched my heart and I said, I'm not sure. I'm pretty sure I'm not saved. I need to go get this thing figured out. I need somebody to reason of righteousness with me. And I said, no. and I know, and I know until the last Sunday I went to church, and I knew in my heart that was my last chance. And I sat there in that seat, and I heard the song sung, and another invitation hymn, and another invitation hymn. And finally I said, next one I'll go. The preacher said, somebody here needs to be saved. We're going to sing one more song. I said, oh, Lord. They sang the song. I said, the next one. I don't know which one it was, but near the very end of it, I stepped out and trusted Christ. I don't think the grace of God would have come to me again. Because I heard the gospel many times. I knew it, and I would not respond with, yes, Lord, would you save me? Now, I want you to understand this. Paul did his job. Paul was a witness. He shared with them the gospel. But do you know what the Bible does not say we're to do as Christians? Cram the gospel down their throat. We're to reason with them of righteousness, the blessing of being saved, and of judgment to come, and leave the choice to them. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. That's the story of Christmas. That's why Jesus came. He didn't come to let us sell gifts. He didn't come to make Christmas December the greatest gift-giving time in history. He came to save sinners, to give us the gift of righteousness. And so you and I have to make a decision. And he said, look, I'm going to call for him many times. It never once says he ever trembled again. He said, I'll call for him. Maybe he'll pay me off and let him out of jail. It never says he called again to find out about the gospel. I guarantee you, when Paul said, hey, Felix, have you decided anything yet? No. Yeah, if you'll pay me, I'll let you out of jail. No, can't do that. Hey, Drusilla, have you made your decision yet? Look, we'll go back to prison. We'll talk to you next week. Time after time after time. But sometime in every one of your lives in this room, there is a deadline. And you go past that deadline, it's too late. And the grace of God that bringeth salvation will never come again. Walking dead men. No hope. Today, are you looking for a convenient season? Or will you say yes? Now, folks, maybe you're saved. You say, whew, I'm glad that's not me. I know I'm going to heaven. Then let me ask you this question. Is there a name that the Holy Spirit's put on your heart of somebody you ought to be praying for, or somebody you ought to give a tract to, someone you want to be a testimony to? Folks, we're not here for our own good. We're not here just to build our 401ks and retire in comfort. While people are dying and going to hell at the rate of 3 per second, 4 per second, you know who stops that drumbeat of souls dying and going to hell? Brandon Lawrence. John Manchesky. Patrick Dunn. Dave Pittman. God says, I could use the birds or the stones to cry out, but I chose people that I've given righteousness to. If the Holy Spirit's touched your heart, would you say yes? And not when I have a convenient season. There is a time for making up your mind, Christian, to do right, to put the Lord first. Today, if you hear his heart, harden not your voice. Let's bow our heads for a prayer this morning. He reasoned of righteousness. He revealed the truth of the gospel. And Felix responded with the wrong answer. Maybe you're here today. You've never trusted Christ as Savior. Today, the grace of God to bring us salvation is going to touch your heart. Would you listen? You're not promised tomorrow if you walk out these doors. Nowhere in Scripture are we promised twice. Would you come and trust him? Come to me at the front. I'll help you with it. Maybe you're here today and you'd like to be a part of our church. You've moved or you're new in the area or you've been here for a while, but you'd like to be a part of our church. We'd love to have you. Maybe you need to be baptized. Whatever the need is today, say yes. Maybe you need to witness to somebody in your family this Christmas season. Say yes. Maybe you need to send out a gospel tract or a Christmas card with scripture on it to encourage somebody to hear the gospel. Could I encourage you to say yes? Maybe you're here and you should be praying for someone every day. Could I encourage you to say yes? Maybe you're here and there's some things in your life you ought to give to Christ, sins. Maybe you ought to say yes today. Lord, I want to be temperate in all things. I want to live like you want me to. I want to have victory in my Christian life. We're going to have a word of prayer. We're going to stand and sing just as I am. That's why he wants us to come. Could I encourage you to come to this altar and just say, Lord, it's me. That's what he wants. The faith in Christ. I've reasoned with you today. I'm pleading with you now. Do what the Lord Jesus wants you to do this morning. Man, woman, boy, or girl, leave this morning with peace in your heart that you've obeyed the Spirit of God. Lord Jesus, would you touch every heart? Dear Holy Spirit, would you walk up and down every aisle and every person seated in this building? And would you help us to do your perfect will this morning and to please you? Help us to say yes this morning. In your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen.